Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
A lot's already been written and broadcast about sex slavery, kidnapping, coercion, manipulation. All of those are part and parcel of the human trafficking trade in its many forms, and all of this together make it the second most lucrative crime in the world. And then last year, when COVID-19 changed everything, life became even more difficult for the victims of trafficking. I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and today on Family Life's Inside Out podcast, my guest is Maylisa Luby. Maylisa is a survivor of trafficking. She's also the founder of the nonprofit May's Heart, which aims to help survivors find their voice and their freedom through Christ. Welcome, Maylisa, to Inside Out.
Thank you, Martha, for having me and just inviting me to talk about what's been happening during this pandemic and how it correlates to human trafficking.
I think a lot of us already know that people are trafficked everywhere, that it's not just somewhere else. It's in cities and towns, out in the countryside, overseas, and in the U.S. and Canada. It's not just something that happens somewhere else. And the problem was huge. I think a lot of us know, even before COVID-19, Maylisa, how have the pandemic and the restrictions that go along with the pandemic, how have they made life more difficult for victims of sex trafficking?
Human trafficking involves a vulnerable population. Mm-hmm. So when you're adding a pandemic to the already vulnerable population, they become even more at risk. And it's not like traffickers are restrained to following the law. Like, they're already criminals. And so it's not a pandemic that's going to bring a stop to a demand. Sex trafficking happens because there is an absurd amount around the world to purchase younger and younger people.
Mm. So I'm hearing you say that while I was in my house, let's say, or I was making sure to stay away from people, the very people who would commit these crimes are going to continue to commit those crimes because the demand is still there and they have no regard for law.
Right. Yes, there's no regard for law. And so, you know, sex trafficking is happening because there's a high demand around the world. Now, what happens when you quarantine people and now people are losing their jobs? They're going to go to other ways to be able to relieve the stress. So if you're already purchasing sex, you're going to desire that even more. I can't put myself in the seat of why, you know, you would mm-hmm. want to purchase young people. But I know that it increases. People that are already vulnerable are even more oppressed during this time. For instance, online exploitation now. You know, you have all these children that don't have access to social workers and teachers and people with the shutdown of schools in 198 countries.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, you know, billions of children out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these kids that have services that are at risk can be identified through the school system. Well, now, you know, you take these children out of the system. They're living in abusive homes. What happens when you're stuck in a house with the increased stress? Domestic violence has increased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sexual abuse is increasing. And so now traffickers are looking at this as an opportunity because they can be online. Now kids are, you know, are more so online because they have to social distance. They don't have access to their normal socialization opportunities. Sports was shut down. I mean, everything was shut down. So these kids are sitting in their living rooms while the parents think, oh, okay, you know, they're safe, mm-hmm. but they're not. Because predators, some of them, they make it their job to be online and pretend that they're kids to exploit children. And we have to be aware. We have to be awake. The growing problem, this is the second criminal activity in the world at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. It has surpasses drugs. It's humans. And also, one of the things that happened, too, is at the beginning of the pandemic, shelters were shut down because they were in fear of risking infection. And so the shelters that were in place for trafficking survivors and domestic violence mm-hmm. were shut down. So not only were they in a terrible situation, now they didn't have avenues to go out and get help. And some of the funds were redirected The government funding around the world were redirected to fight this pandemic and taken away from shelters and different nonprofit organizations, and a lot of them shut down.
My, yeah, that's quite a combination. Demand increased for people who were at home and who had a proclivity in that direction.
Absolutely.
Shelters are shut down. Those people who, because they're now closed in with whomever might be abusing them, they can't get to a shelter. They're feeling trapped and can't get help. There's not the awareness of having another adult watching children and saying, hey, something's going on here that might need some attention. And you have more children like required to be online. And so those who exploit that have more opportunity to lure children. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Oh, all of those together. And the average age in the U.S. is 12 years old.
Right.
To become a victim of human trafficking. They will prowl around that account. They will take the opportunity when the child feels down and they post something to get attention. Like maybe it's a post of like, oh, I am not getting along with my mom, or, you know, some indication that something's going on at home. Well, guess who pops in? Sabrina, my friend who's been online comforting me and just saying, hi, you're so beautiful, you're this or that. We think about children. Why? Because they're vulnerable. The risk has gone up because people are more vulnerable.
So from your perspective and your experience working through your nonprofit, what are the most effective tools for people who want to fight sex trafficking? And I know that one of the answers is to send money to those places that are ministering in that way and who are on the lookout. But what other actions can people listening take?
Yes, I think partnering with a local nonprofit organization and not just giving money, but giving your time. Awareness is not enough. We need to start being able to spot, report, and prevent human trafficking. We need to be able to know what this looks like. It's really important to partner with a local nonprofit organization and start being aware of how this is happening in your area. There is not one state that is exempt from this happening. There's not one county that is exempt in America. Partnering with the local nonprofit organization that are helping trafficking victims, whether if it's like awareness, prevention, report, you know, all of that stuff, to really be equipped and be able to identify, be able to offer your gifts and your talents. These survivors that are coming out of trafficking situations are completely broken, and they need a community. They need people that see them, that hear them, that know them, that want to help them and love on them and have the patience to do that. And the only way you can do that is to partner up with a local nonprofit organization. And obviously, you know, giving your funds as well is super important, because we can't do it without the financial support.
Right. Then let me just take a moment here to say that if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Inside Out podcast on Family Life. I'm talking today with Maylisa Luby about the impact of the pandemic on the horrific state of human trafficking. Maylisa, I want to ask specifically about your vision for Christians in this fight. Is there a special role for the church?
I think the church has been very silent about sex in general, and it is time for us to open this up, open the topic up, equip our congregation, not just in the sex trafficking, but of sexual abuse, pornography addiction. We need to be able to do prevention programs in our churches, because guess what? School isn't doing it. We're not equipping our children like we should as far as emotional well-being, and also helping them not become the next victim of sexual abuse and then human trafficking, because the root of this is sexual abuse. The demand is happening because there are millions of people addicted to pornography who are really driving this whole thing, who are creating the demand. And so the church needs to start talking about addiction and pornography and sex trafficking and sexual abuse, and not just a purity message. It needs to be real. It needs to be an open conversation where kids can go and talk to their leaders and be confident going there that they're not going to feel ashamed. You know, we need to open up the highway of healing here in the realm of our sexuality. And if the church isn't going to do it, who's going to do it? The world is not going to do it. The church needs to step in. And, you know, when I say stand in the gaps, are you willing as a leader to open this up and to really make a way for people to live the holy and righteous life that Jesus has called us to do it? God created sex. It's good. It's made for good, but it's been used for so much evil in this world. It's just increasing. And I think if we're going to grow as a church body and as a healthy body and for the next generation, we need to open this topic up to our kiddos and start preventing, right? You can prevent sexual abuse when you're equipping the parents, when you're equipping the children. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about sexual abuse because it really goes hand in hand.
I was just going to say that, yes.
85% of victims of human trafficking have experienced sexual abuse. Neglect is another one. You know, they come from broken homes. But now the online availability has definitely expanded this thing to be able to reach out to families, you know, who just don't have a clue, honestly. So that's why it's important to have eyes to see what it looks like so we can identify it and we can start really putting the enemy down, you know, like pushing that world out of here. And it's kind of like, it's the devil's den. Okay, what I'm doing, it's like entering the devil's den. But you know what? I shine such a bright light in that den that nothing can stop what God wants to do in this area. And so if all of us can start putting a light in the devil's den and turning the light on in the deep, darkest places, we are going to win this war waged against our children.
So I think in the very, very least, we can be part of the church that says, let's start having a conversation so that the church is equipped. Mom and dad and children, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles are equipped not only to see when one of the children or a young adult is vulnerable to someone online, but also to be able to say the things that have happened in a person's life right here in my family are some of the things that make them vulnerable to anybody who might be trying to manipulate it. So if we actually have those conversations, we can be part of the prevention. And of course, all of that equipping comes accompanied by the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you're listening and, you know, you're a church leader and you would love, this is speaking to your heart, I would love to come and be able to speak a message of hope in that area. And that is something that the Lord has really called me to carry, that message, and to bring hope and healing in the area of sexual abuse and trafficking. So I would love to have that opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. And Maylisa, thank you so much for joining me here today on Inside Out to talk about it.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
My guest has been Maylisa Luby, founder of May's Heart and a survivor of sex trafficking. You'll find Luby's ministry, May's Heart, at maylisaluby.com. That's maylisaluby.com. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.